Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And welcome into another edition of More Outdoors. Glad to have you with us. And if I can get this reverb out of my head, I'll be doing a whole lot better. Anyway, we have got a great show planned for you. We've got Hunt Fish Talk coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. And that means we'll be joined by Keith Lusher and also Wendy Billiott will be joining us. Martha Spencer's fishing on the boat today, and we've got some issues to discuss, including the ban on deer urine attractant for Louisiana. And we also have an issue of, you know, the LOWA, Louisiana Outdoor Writer Association. It's not really a controversial issue, but we want to explain to you what goes on and try to figure out what you can do to get involved in a number of events that is sponsored, including the Fish of the Year, the Youth Angler of the Year, and the Youth Journalism Contest. So at any rate, what we need to do right here before we get the Rad Trasher in, because we're going to talk to him about the Star Rodeo, get the current leaderboard update. It's just recently updated a couple of days ago. Time is running out. We've only got a couple of weekends left to go, but there's still some good opportunity to cash in on it. And then we're going to also talk to him about Ride the Bull, because he is the director of that event, and as well as the Star Tournament, and that's going to be a biggie next weekend in Grand Isle. I'll be down there. But first, we need to take a break, and I need to get this technical difficulty we've got straightened out, and we'll be right back to talk to Rad. Stay tuned with us. You're listening to More Outdoors. And welcome back into More Outdoors. And we're trying to deal with this problem. I don't know if we're going to be able to get through it. We'll see if we can get to it to the next break. But let me get Rad Trasher in here. Hello, Rad. How you doing?
It sounds better than you, Don.
Better than me, huh?
Well,
I keep hearing myself is the problem.
Well, gotcha. Well, see, we can't hear what you're dealing with. So,
God, you can't.
Gotcha.
Well, anyway, we got you in here to talk about two things. Which do you like to prefer to talk about first, Ride the Bull or Star?
Well, let's do Star first. You know, we only have 2 weeks left, I guess. So it's coming to the end. But, you know, usually, Don, the tag redfish and most of the heaviest fish kind of come in early in the summer. This year is totally different. I have had 5 tagged redfish caught in the last 10 days. So it just shows you that it's never over until Labor Day, you know. Unfortunately, all of those anglers have been unregistered, 2 of which were kids. And so it's been kind of heartbreaking. We're trying to give that Bent's RV away and a handful of Nautic Stars, and unfortunately, the wrong folks are catching them.
Well, that's surprising. You know, this has been the strangest Star tournament as far as the redfish category I can ever remember. Right out the start, off the bat, there was one caught by a registered angler, and then all of a sudden there was crickets. And now you're telling me this week you had a whole rush on them.
It really is. You know, usually, like I said, we have that one first out of the gate, and then, you know, June is usually stacked up. But so we had another one caught on Big Lake. That's the second one for the tournament. We had one down in the Dulac area. That was caught last week. Then we had one in Lake Hermitage and another one near Hopedale as well. And so it just – they stack up. Now, does that mean that they started biting again or the water's getting right in those areas? Who knows? But there's still plenty of chances.
Can you tell us where those were caught?
So far, the first winner we had came from Hopedale, and then all of the other ones, we had 2 in Big Lake, one in Lake Hermitage, another one in the Hopedale, like Bayou, Milo, somewhere like in there. I have one in between Dulac and Cocodrie, and then one at the Empire Jetties, and I'm forgetting one, but there's one more somewhere in there.
All right. So, looking at the leaderboard, give us what you consider to be some open opportunities with just a few weeks left to go in this tournament.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, where the fishing was not right early in the summer, like in Venice in the East Division, as well as in that Southwest Division in the Sycamore Point, Vermilion Bay. To me, if I'm going to tackle something, that's where I'm headed because, you know, the fish have been there, but the rivers and water quality have not made it for good fishing for June and July, and it's getting right in all of them. You know, everything that we're seeing is just running behind, especially in those areas. And so whether that's trout, but either in kayak, the division or fly division, that's where I would probably go tackle it. I heard of a couple 7-pound fish caught out, you know, in that Ship Shoal area, you know, outside Sycamore Point. I haven't seen them hit the leaderboard, but they're out there. So that's what I would probably do is try to tackle those areas that haven't gotten the attention all summer that some of the other ones have. But, you know, look, we all know it doesn't matter where you fish. There's a chance, whether it's a tag redfish or, you know, your trophy trout or trophy sheep's head or flounder, you name it. We've got a lot of openings now. You know, if I was, I wouldn't try to go tackle the Cobia division. As you've seen, we've had a 99 pounder on there. You know, so there's a few that are probably locked up, and we knew they were locked up when it happened. But truly, we don't have, especially in the inshore categories, anything that I just say is unbeatable.
Yeah, and you know the kids division, and we talk about this year after year that you know there's some real opportunities there. And I think you know for people that have kids to fish with, tell us how they can get involved in getting that. I mean, especially in that East Division and the Southwest Divisions.
Look, it's easy. Your kid has to be a $10 member of CCA. It's free to fish Star, and then all they have to do is register a trout or a flounder over 14 inches, and you can bring it to one of the weigh stations, or you can just take a picture of the fish on a ruler and send it to us. And so if you've got a couple weeks left to fish with them before they go back to school and, you know, you start thinking more about hunting season, get them in. The chances are absolutely incredible. And don't forget, just for that $10 entry fee, they're also eligible for all the adult divisions. Truly, we had the guy in Hopedale, in Bayou Milo, however you pronounce it, as well as the one in Lake Hermitage.
Milo.
One was caught by an 11-year-old, one was caught by a 12-year-old. They would have taken those tag redfish prizes home instead of the little John boat. So get them in. It is so easy. And, you know, you're looking at the leaderboard, Don, but – you know, it's better than a 1 in 100 chance that they're going to win a boat, motor, and trailer. Well, the technical difficulties are now on our end.
Hey, Rat.
There you are.
it's still mostly on my end. It's pretty difficult to deal with, but we'll keep going until we get to the next break, and then I got another plan for that.
We'll do what you got to do. You know, I'm always used to you being one of the best in the business of give and take questions, and this is not normal.
Well, it's like I'm talking to three people. I'm talking to you, me, and me again, this other guy.
Gotcha.
It's pretty wild. Well, what other comments can you make about this Star? You know, it's not too late to buy a ticket, and you know, for the most part, a lot of it is over, but there's still some opportunity out there. And if you've been hearing Tofield Bourgeois do the reports with me, he's had, I think, 5 or 6 people that would have a winning speckled trout out there, but none of them were registered.
It is actually amazing. Tofield called me, I guess it was Monday, Monday night after he put a picture of a couple seven-pounders up on Facebook, and he was registering those people that night. He called me, and he's like, how do I do this? You know, it's 9 o'clock at night, and a bunch of folks from Texas, and so I did it over the phone. And, of course, they go the next day, and they catch nothing but five-pounders, and so it didn't work out. But, look, they're out there. Once again, it's never too late. It is cheaper than the shrimp you're going to put on your boat. It's cheaper than the gas that you put in your boat. Get registered, and regardless, get those kids in. It's easy. They get a year's membership. That way we can communicate with them year-round about what's going on in conservation measures in school and you name it. And it's $10, and chances are they're going to win a boat, motor, or trailer.
Well, that sounds good, Rad. Give us the numbers on this year's tournament. Has it been up, down, about the same as it's been the last few years?
It's a little up, overwhelmingly up, but we're going to, I think, I haven't seen it in the last week or two, but my guess is we're going to end up a little over 12,000. And so, you know, all is good. It's funny, you know, because people fit, you know, it's based on a fishing tournament, whether they're going or their confidence levels in fishing, you know, we get a lot of turnover every year, but right now I think we'll end up in the, you know, 4 to 5% up, and, you know, we can live with that. I wish it'd be a lot more. I wish the 6 or 7 people that caught tag redfish would have won. And so, you know, hopefully we'll get there one day where we don't have to talk about unregistered anglers.
Well, I think that's always going to be the case, and I think that adds a lot of mystery and intrigue into the whole event. Outstanding catches this year. You mentioned that lemonfish. That's incredible. I'm sure that's a star record. Some of the other categories that you were surprised by. I was a little bit surprised by the lack of big trout coming in from that west area, although you got a decent fish in the lead there. But still, I mean, normally in a normal year, there would be a lot bigger trout brought in.
Yeah, you know, and it's been kind of interesting to watch because, like I talked about earlier, you know, with the high water on the east and west side of the state, kind of sent things into a weird pattern. Usually in the west, we have multiple seven-pound fish caught the first weekend and the second weekend. I mean, it kind of never fails. That last weekend of May, first weekend of June is blockbuster over there. Well, this year they had super high water that looked like the Mississippi River, and so nobody was catching fish. Definitely not in those areas where they usually find those big trout. And so it was almost like they missed that window of opportunity. And so it's been weird. Now, you know, we do have close to a 7-pound trout over there now. Zach's caught a couple nice ones. But, you know, I still think, you know, those fish didn't go anywhere. They just they moved into little different areas. And it wouldn't surprise me you have a lead change over there in these next couple weeks when the weather's right and the water seems to be doing well. You know, everybody thinks of it moving, you know, those big trout early in the summer. I was talking to Ty Masson the other day, and we started looking, and that is true. But, I mean, just since my tenure at Running Star, I think I counted 4 or 5 guys that won the trout division in August. So it's possible. It definitely does happen, and I think most of it's based on weather conditions.
You know, you post on the leaderboard, you know, the top three places, and in one of the categories, it's the speckled trout east. You actually had 2 with a 5.76, and you got sea rule number 9 for tiebreakers. What is a tiebreaker rule when you get 2 fish the exact same weight? And look, it's pretty hard to do when you go to, you know, hundredths of a pound.
No doubt. It is based upon who weighs the fish in first. So you won't get, you know, bumped off the board if you're first and then the second fish comes in. And believe it or not, you know, thanks to our attorneys, you have to have another one that if those are the exact same times, it's who registered first. So those policies are in place just in case it happens. And it is really shocking how many ties we do have throughout the year, throughout all the years. So the first place, you know, is east. He waded in first. The tie, he gets bumped to second. and we kind of go on from there. But, you know, when you have 30 weigh stations across the coast, you know, those kind of things are possible, not only the same weights, but same times and so on.
Sounds like you got the same tie-breaking process as the NFL does for the playoff situation, man. It can get pretty hairy in there.
Well, at least I don't have blind referees making it happen.
Touche. Hey, bank fishing. You know, now this has got to – we talked about surprises. That's surprising to me that a 6.18 is leading the bank fishing category.
Well, you know, and it is really fun. In fact, that's going to be one of the topics for next year of maybe trying to split that division up because, you know, people ask, you know, why do you have all four divisions and so on? And it's basically to give everybody a shot because we know some areas produce historically bigger fish than others. I never in a million years thought guys were catching, you know, 6-pound fish off the bank on a regular basis, but it actually is now happening in Southwest Louisiana. And really I've had more questions on that one because early in the year they were catching them when the regular East Trout Division wasn't producing big fish. And, you know, all these guys are calling, what do I do? Well, you know, it's your gamble. but, you know, a 6-pound fish on the bank, it, to me, in our world, you know, down Highway 1 and you know, in the far east part of the state, that just doesn't happen. But, you know, down there, it's obviously a regular basis. I think that was basically the same weight that won it last year.
I got another rule question for you, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about Tofield flying these guys out there and they're catching these potential winning trout. Unfortunately, none of them were registered, but they're getting 7-plus-pound fish coming in. Is that considered bank fishing? If you fly out there, you get out of the plane and you're walking along the surf and you're fishing, or is that considered being transported by a vessel, even though it's an air vessel?
Those fish the tow feelers catch them would end up having to be in the overall trout division. The bank fishing division rules state that you have to be able to get there by foot or by automobile. And we did that to open up those opportunities to the people that don't have boats or don't have quite possibly the opportunity to jump on a seaplane with tow feel. So no, just because you're standing in the water does not automatically mean you're in the bank. And that also goes for the guys that are in boats and drive to an island. That doesn't work either. You got to be able to get there by foot or by car. And no airplanes or boats can be involved in the process. And that's, like I said, just to keep it fair and give those folks the opportunity to fish a star.
How many people do y'all have? You got to have a staff that researches these rules and writes these rules. And it's, I mean, you guys, to your credit, I mean, you've got just about all the bases covered. But even at that, I'm sure there's something that comes up that nobody ever thought about before.
We tweak them every year, and that's usually because either we learned a lesson or we watched some other tournament learn a lesson. You know, the beauty of having 13,000 people fish this thing is we see a lot, and we know a lot of folks, and, you know, we're watching all these other tournaments. But, you know, we've also been doing it for 25 years. This is the 25th anniversary, and so – you know, hopefully we get it right by now, but it never fails. Something new comes up. You know, there's been controversies at some of the local fundraising kind of tournaments this summer. And, you know, we're all kind of watching it and seeing what the other folks do. You know, the tournament director circle is pretty small, and we all talk a whole lot.
We're talking with Rad Trasher, director of the CCA Star Tournament. If you got a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. You can either text us at 870-870. That's our text board, comes right here to the studio. Or you're welcome to call and join in the conversation by way of telephone. The number is 504-260-6368. Rad, where does this all end? When the ripples clear and all the winners are designated and the polygraphs, if required, are taken, when is the awards banquet and who's it open to?
It's open to everybody. We encourage everybody to come. It is one of the you know, the best events we do a year, because you're literally going to watch, you know, almost $500,000 walk out the door. So everybody's in a pretty good mood. It is in Baton Rouge on October 17th at Live Oak Arabians, which is one of the most beautiful pieces of property probably in the state, but it is in the heart of Baton Rouge. And, you know, we bring in all the trucks and boats that we give away, and probably 1,500 of our closest friends, and we have a pretty good party. So encourage all your listeners to come. It's $50. That includes dinner, open bar, the whole nine yards. And, you know, it's a sight to see.
And finally, before we wrap up our conversation on Star and turn it to Ride the Bull, any thoughts or things that came up this year that you're considering for next year, or are you going to wait until it's all over with and then kind of do a revisit and see if there's any rule changes that need to come about, or deletions or additions to any of the categories?
You know, luckily, let me go ahead and knock on wood, I haven't had any rule problems at the moment. No drama that I know of. And so we really haven't gotten into that. Like I talked about, we might think about splitting the bank division and doing some of those kind of things, just to kind of broaden the capabilities of people around the state. But, you know, we also usually send a survey out to our members after the tournament to say, hey, what are you thinking? What are you seeing? What would you like to see? And, you know, of course, every year it's more prizes and more divisions, and I like those ideas. I just got to go find the sponsors to help us with the prizes. But, you know, we're always open to changes. We're always open to suggestions. You know, sometimes we can pull them off and sometimes we can't. So if you do have one of those, don't hesitate to reach out through our website. Shoot me an email. Give me a call. You know, we're always trying to make it better.
You know, one of the questions that I probably get more often than others when people discuss on it is the Calcutta from Calcasieu. Explain that, why they have one for that area.
Well, what had happened was we had a handful of members over there that had that wanted to do a live catch and release division. And, you know, in the beginning, we've had issues with photographs and photoshopping and whatever. And so we needed the weigh stations to be able to do it. The other piece of that, and the reason the West, was when we created that little division, it was, we were seeing major 8-pound fish stacked, you know, coming in all the time over there. And so they wanted to give them an incentive that if they didn't think it was going to be the leader, you know, to put it back in the water. And, you know, besides, you know, maybe Bridgeside and Sand Dollar and a couple of them, not every marina has the ability to take a live fish and put it back themselves. And so that's where it started there. It's just it's a small kind of token prize, but, you know, we might spread it. I think, you know, if you ask me what is the number one thing I hear about is why don't we have a catch and release division statewide. And quite frankly, I'd like to do it. It's just a matter of trying to figure out how to pull it off.
Yeah, you know, there have been several attempts at having catch and release speckled trout divisions and strictly tournaments for that, and it is not easy. I mean, look at these water temperatures we've got. Speckled trout are not the hardiest fish, particularly when you're trying to catch big ones. They're very hard to keep alive and to revive, and it just doesn't seem to work. But, however, this one that goes on over there seems to be pretty successful at attracting participation.
Well, it is. You know, I think it's mainly due to, you know, if you're fishing big lake, chances are you don't have a long run. You're usually, you know, to me, big lake is either really rough and you're not fishing, or it's pretty calm. And the marina is right on the water. Once they get through their launch cycle in the morning, that marina slows down tremendously. And so when somebody pulls up with one of those fish, they can get on it and get on it quick and take care of it. And so that's part of that struggle that we have. You know, look, and we'll talk about it with Ride the Bull. You know, Bridgeside's one of the best marinas in the state. They're awesome to us. They're great people. But if you look at that family and say, drop everything you're doing and weigh this fish this second, that's not going to happen. You know, they're cycling thousands of people through there every day. And so you know, like I said, you just have limited options of who can pull that off. But I think you're going to start seeing more and more opportunities for just a catch and a photo type of thing where we don't have to bring them to weigh stations. And so that's my hopes, are so we can add that component where that way, you know, it's based on length, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But I got to figure out some software that keeps people from photoshopping things.
Red, what if people want to comment? You send out questionnaires to the participants, and that's certainly a good way to get feedback. But other ways that they might want to contact you and make suggestions, and of course, if anybody out there is interested in becoming a sponsor or a volunteer, you can always use more of those. What's the best way to get you?
The easiest way is shoot me an email. It's rad@ccalouisiana.com. But find us online, ccastar.com. But, you know, go to our Facebook, our Instagram page. We monitor all of it. Find us, shoot us a message. We don't hide. We do Facebook Live every couple weeks as well, that you can ask us questions. So shoot it to us. Like I said, I wish I could hide more, but I can't. So get on your computer. I promise you'll find me pretty quick.
Very good. Well, Red, let's switch gears a little bit, and let's talk about Ride the Bull. And, wow, what an event this is going to be. And for people that may be just tuning in or just landed here from another planet, tell them how this thing got started and what it's all about.
So 10 years ago, Captain Danny and Kristen Ray were guides on Grand Isle. Danny has been a kayak guide and kind of, I don't know, one of the pioneers, is definitely in South Louisiana, of getting people into kayak fishing. And his wife, unfortunately, passed away from cancer. But when she was around, she was the idea lady. And everybody was kind of sitting around one day after after one of the big tournaments at Bridgeside, and said, why don't we do this in kayaks? And, you know, what everybody started out thinking was going to be 10 or 15 people. I think the first year he started reaching out to us, and I think we ended up having 60, 70, and kind of all looked around and went, holy cow, this could be big. And, you know, 10 years later, we've got, you know, 700 people participating, and, you know, teams of volunteers to try to pull it off, and it's pegged the world's largest kayak tournament. So started with small thoughts of just a good way to, you know, kind of get our friends together and have a good time, and now it's turned into a whole different animal.
And CCA has kind of picked up the reins on this, and that's a great thing because you've got a lot of resources to help out, and, you know, done a fantastic job and continue to expand it. Unlike Star, though, this is a really simple event as far as the categories. Now, there's other aspects of it that make it a little technical, but as far as, you know, people are going out and they're looking for one species, bull redfish.
Yes, the rules and what you're aiming for is very simple compared to Star, but this is an undertaking like no other. Now, you know, Danny and Kristen created this thing, and like I said, unfortunately, Kristen passed away after a long battle with cancer. Danny came to us and said, look, I can't do this without her, and nobody other than y'all has the mechanism to kind of pull this off. And so we took it over, I guess this is four or five years ago, we took it over. And that's kind of the way I looked at it, Don, was, hey, you know, like, this is simple. This is a couple hundred people all after one species. It's catch and release, no big deal. But factor in 700 kayaks, you know, 25 chase boats that go and pick up the fish and get them to weigh in, you know, so we can tag them, measure them, and weigh them and get them back in the water. It's an undertaking. It's but a fun undertaking, something totally, you know, different than what we were used to. But, you know, the beauty of us taking it over, not only because we had the mechanisms, but, you know, we've been a sponsor and a volunteer for 10 years. I think I've held every position through there, from the first year of burning stakes at the captain's meeting to waymaster to, you know, what chase boat operator and now running.
Is this a break-even event, or does it actually make some money? And if it does, who is the beneficiary of the proceeds?
So I think last year was the first year that we made money on it. And I think it was a total of $1,600 or something like that. You know,
yeah, one of the things cost $50,000 to put on if you added everybody's time and resources up.
Oh, no, wait, I can't even add the time and resources. Then I know I don't make money. But because if they paid us by the hour, the organization would go broke. but what happened was when Danny took it over, I mean, gave it over to us, we didn't want to change anything. We wanted to keep the price simple because we want to introduce people to the event, get them to Grand Isle and have a good time. You know, I mean, we have people from right now from like 23 states, 24 states, as far away as Australia, New Zealand. And so we just wanted to keep it simple. Now, when I went to the board to pitch it, they said, well, you need to make it a membership drive. So we did. We included membership in the ticket. So it was $75 10 years ago or 9 years ago, whenever the second year. And we kept it that way, but we put the membership cost in it. And so for that $75, you get a CCA membership, which is $35. And yes, believe it or not, we've got to write a check to CCA National to do that. You get a shrimp boil from Carmadale's and Louisiana Seafood. You get a $50 retail value shirt and a ditty bag. And what I'm calculating is, you know, $15,000 in prizes to give away. So, no, it is strictly a membership drive. If it makes a few dollars, you know, the board's happy with me, but they don't expect it.
And it provides an awful lot of recreation for an awful lot of people that come down in to enjoy it. This thing has grown, though, more than a competitive event. It's kind of like almost a cross between Mardi Gras and Tarpon Rodeo.
You know, it's funny. Everybody kind of has their comparisons. Danny calls it the closest thing to Woodstock. But
it's not even close.
Well, from the sense of just all like-minded people getting in a place to have a good time. You know, it's funny. We have so many first-time Ride the Bull participants call me and like, hey, look, I'm nervous. I know it's going to be super crowded. What do I do? And I'm like, look, just ask. And what I mean by that is whether it's me or any of the participants, it is by far the friendliest tournament setting you have ever seen. It's not competitive. Well, let me rephrase that. It is competitive, but everybody's doing the same thing. So it's really a luck of the draw to a certain extent. So they don't mind sharing secrets. They don't mind helping you unload stuff and load the, you know, do things. I literally watched one of the most serious anglers I know that fishes the tournament last year. He was sitting next to a guy that was very apparent not a serious tournament angler. And all of a sudden the guy's like, man, I broke off again. That was my last leader. And so, you know, in that situation, he's got a long paddle home and his day's over. The serious tournament angler yelled at him and said, come over here. I got some stuff for you. We'll get you back to fishing. And sure enough, I end up seeing them tied off together. And the serious angler was trying to help him not only rig it, but catch a fish. So it's that type of atmosphere. You know, I think more people come for the party and the camaraderie and the shrimp boil than they do for the actual fishing. But when all of a sudden you have that group sitting out in Kamenata Pass and the school of bull reds comes through and, you know, there's 60 to 100 people hooked up at a time, it's a happening, and it's something that everybody wants to see at least once.
You know, I don't know what it is about kayakers, but there's this brotherhood and sisterhood thing among them, and it's unlike anything in any other aspect of outdoors that I've ever seen, that they always want to offer help and suggestions and give tips to one another, help them when they've got problems in maneuvering or whatever, and that just makes it so much more enjoyable. Red, we're going to take a break here. I think I got my problem solved, and when we come back, I want to talk about the schedule of events, how it's going to take place next Friday and Saturday down there, and also get a request and see if we can maybe do some call-ins from some of the contestants while the tournament is going on, while we're still on the air, because Marucci, with their lifestyle collection sunglasses and tackle cooler bags, has jumped up to be basically a sponsor for our broadcast down there this weekend. So I'm looking forward to that. Actually, next weekend. This one's not over yet. We're talking with Rad Trasher. If you got a question or a comment about Ride the Bull, I know a lot of you are first-time kayakers or paddlers, or maybe have been an experienced kayaker but never fished this particular event. And if you want to get details, information, now's the time to do it. 504-260-6368. Or you're welcome to shoot a quick text message in. That comes in to me at 870-870. Just put the numbers in, your question, comment, hit the send button, and we got it for you. We'll be right back after this. And thank you for tuning in this morning to More Outdoors. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, 8 to 9, we're going to have our Hunt Fish Talk segment. Wendy Billiott, also known as the Bayou Woman, is going to be joining us, as will Keith Lusher. We've got some outdoor topics to discuss and a roundtable discussion with fellow Louisiana Outdoor Writer Association members. For the rest of this time, we've got Rad Trasher with us. We've been talking about STAR. He's the director for that. He's also taken on another job, Ride the Bull director. That is coming up at Bridgeside Marina next weekend. And, Rad, if you would, kind of run down the schedule and give us the deadline for people to sign up who may be listening and have never fished it, but they've got some interest in doing it.
So we will close down online registration on Tuesday. So we'll shut that down, and then we're going to break camp and head to Grand Isle. And then registration will be open from and check-in Friday at 3 p.m. at Bridgeside Marina. You know, the home group and our staff will be there to check everybody in, as well as take new registrations. And that will run to about 8 o'clock on Friday night, and then you are actually allowed to register Saturday morning as well. But I would encourage you, if you think you're going to do it, get in now, so we know you're coming, so we can have everything prepared for you. But you can do it on site, and believe we all know it happens every year. I think, you know, we're sitting about 600, a little over 600 right now, registrants, and typically we get 100 to 150 on tournament day. So it should be a great crowd.
Well, I know a lot of people want to wait and get the weather forecast before they commit, and you're certainly entitled to do that, but it certainly makes it a lot easier for themselves and for you if they get that early registration in. In what instances has it ever been delayed or canceled because of weather conditions there?
Can I not talk about that, Don? We have, as far as I know, we've never had an issue, but we have had to kind of move the times around a little bit. In fact, the first year I took over, we had a big thunderstorm come in, and so we pulled everybody off the water, and then actually we let them go back out. Now, granted, it was bright around lunchtime, and so a lot of them didn't. But we gave them that opportunity and extended the times. And so what will happen is Saturday night at the captain's meeting, I will have a very good briefing from not only NOAA, but our sponsor WAFB and their weather team. And we're going to have a pretty good idea of what we're going to be dealing with. And then we will go over it all over again Saturday morning, because we've got to make sure, you know, we keep everybody safe. And so that's the number one goal. And if we got to pull you off the water, we will sound a horn and make everybody start paddling. But hopefully we don't have to do that. And, you know, God has looked out after us, and, you know, we've had horrible weather. You know, what, 2 years ago was the hurricane in Houston. It was the same day as Ride the Bull. Years before, we've had other tropical storms hit in Florida and that. But for some odd reason, Grand Isle has been really good on this last weekend of August.
Well, it sounded like you had technical difficulties under wraps. There you are.
Yeah, well, I was trying my other system again, and it evidently wasn't in place yet. But anyway, what I'd asked you was the documentary that Chris Lecoq has put together, 10 Years of Ride the Bull, part of that is going to air on next week's Bayou Wild TV, but the full-length documentary, which from what I've seen is phenomenal, is going to be actually put on the board down there and run at the marina during Friday night at some point. What time is that scheduled?
So we're going to have, you know, we're going to start serving shrimp from Carmadale's about 5 o'clock. And around 7, I will start a captain's meeting. And my speech is very short. It just depends on how many questions they throw at me. And then as soon as that's complete, probably 7:30 or so, we're gonna put it on the big screen and let everybody take a look at it. Look, Don, you've probably seen more of it than I have, but he did an incredible job. It is, I mean, not only is he talented, but he put all the puzzle pieces together. I can't imagine the amount of footage he had to go through of all of his work over the last 10 years of that event. So we're pumped.
For this one, I can hardly see where that would matter. So if somebody wants to go down and do some scouting, that's perfectly fine, correct?
Absolutely. Come down. Come spend a week in Grand Isle. Come spend money at the marinas and restaurants and hotels and have a big time. There will be a lot of people pre-fishing it. I will tell you that most of the anglers you will see are up in the marsh a couple of days leading up to it, because they know that the pre-fishing really isn't that helpful. It can be fun, but it doesn't really do a whole lot for you. The ones that do want to do it, the thing I would tell you is learn the bottom, learn the contours of the pass. Don't think about where you caught the first fish that day. They come through in schools, and they're not going to be at the same place the second day. So that's my tip, but feel free, go after it.
Question was, will the participants, are they allowed to carry cell phones with them while they're fishing?
Absolutely. Bring your cell phones. I would definitely put them in a plastic bag, but they can bring them. In fact, you know, we encourage them to have it, not only to check the leaderboard, which we will be posting on our Facebook page very regularly, but also if they need help or call a chase boat or whatever, they have access to do so.
Well, I'd also like to offer this, because we're going to be doing live radio there between 7 and 9. They can actually listen to our broadcast via their cell phones by going to radio.com. It's an app they can put on their iPhone. And I will collect as many phone numbers from willing participants Friday night who would like to be contacted and get some live up-to-the-minute reports while they're fishing on the water about what they're catching and what they've seen out there, just to kind of make the whole thing interactive between everybody, where they can hear what's going on and we'll update the leaderboard and they can get what they, you know, what they're shooting for. And I think it's going to add a whole dimension to it.
I think that's really cool. Absolutely. We'll help spread the word on that. And, they all have the cell phones, and obviously I'll be available too, as long as I'm not pulling fish in from people. I'll be on my boat. But absolutely, I think it's going to be cool. We're excited to have you as well as the Marucci folks coming down this year and broadcasting. I mean, look, people are pumped up. It is there is a whole different buzz about it this year that really is making me excited. And y'all are just another piece of the puzzle that we've never had before. And I know people would love to see you, but also talk to you from the water. And they'll probably, you'll find you might need the guy on the buzzer of the beep pretty quick.
We'll have that ready. Anyway, I'll be willing to, after 9 o'clock when I get off, I'll be willing to join your crew. You can put me to work doing whatever, rescue boats, tallying, whatever you need until the weigh-in. I'll be down there for the final event. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great time. They got some contests. Go to Bayou Wild TV's Facebook. We got a photo contest going on. And understand there's a costume contest, too, in place.
There is. It's funny, Nate. We've had people dress up in costumes every year, and let's do this the right way. And so I went to Hancock Whitney Bank and said, look, I need you to donate a kayak. And so the best costume of the day of fishing is going to win a wilderness kayak decked out from the backpacker. Really cool deal. The chase boats are actually going to nominate their top five, and then we're going to let the people at the awards ceremony pick it. So should be a lot of fun. It'll also obviously add to a whole lot of chatter on social media, because we're going to be posting those pictures all day.
Oh, that is going to be fantastic. Looking forward to it, Rad. Thanks for spending some time with it. Thanks for all the hard work you do on both events, Star and also Ride the Bull, and we'll see you next Friday night.
Thanks, Don. Take care.
All righty, Rad Trasher, CCA star director and also director for Ride the Bull. All right, coming up in the next hour, we're going to get Wendy Billiott in here. She went on a Cajun invasion to Alaska. We're going to talk about that, also about Louisiana Outdoor Writers Association, and also about this ban on deer urine attractants. Keith Lusher will be here, too. It's called Hunt Fish Talk on More Outdoors. We'll be right back after this quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.